Kamala Harris is taking heat for laughing and agreeing with a man who made a very politically incorrect statement about President Trump. Meanwhile, the president is having fun with Sharpiegate at the media's expense, and the new jobs report shows an economy in which there are actually more jobs than workers to fill them. All that and more. I'm Bobby Eberle. This is a 13-Minute News Hour.
And God bless the United States of America.
All right, friends, welcome to the show. I hope you had a great weekend. And before we jump in, I just have to tell you about my friends over at Bottle Breacher. You guys need to check them out. They have the best in man gifts and promotional items, basically stuff for dudes. Just go to bottlebreacher.com, use coupon code BOBBY13-A1 for 20% off your next purchase. That's bottlebreacher.com, coupon code BOBBY13-A1. All right, so we are going to start with Kamala Harris because she is not having a good time these days, and it's past, it's her present, it's a little bit of everything, and we'll get into it. So we're going to talk about her past because the Washington Examiner has a really interesting story about her time as district attorney for San Francisco, and it turns out, according to their report, that she withheld information, evidence, on multiple occasions that could have exonerated various suspects. And here is the report, which just shows, because again, this is one of her cornerstones for her experience, and it shows that it's not a very firm foundation. Check this out. Between 2004 and 2010, Harris's office failed to inform defense attorneys about criminal and professional misconduct records that raised questions about the credibility of government witnesses. The lapses led to the dismissal of nearly 1,000 cases and a scathing 2010 ruling by a Superior Court judge that accused Harris's office of breaching due process rights. Legal scholars told the Washington Examiner that Harris's office appeared to have violated the Supreme Court's 1963 Brady v. Maryland decision. The ruling held that prosecutors must turn over potentially exculpatory evidence to the defense. So how could this happen? I mean, again, she uses her experience, this experience as district attorney, as one of her main talking points, one of her main pieces of credibility. So was this just ineptness? Was it corruption? I mean, the Washington Examiner has more. Check this out. It says, there's a clear causal link between Brady violations and wrongful conviction, said Craig Traynor, a New York attorney who specializes in due process cases. The reasons for failure to disclose exculpatory evidence range from bad faith to inexperience, to excessive caseloads, to a tunnel vision to get the guilty defendant at all costs, to rank politics, as we see in Kamala Harris's case, he said. So, again, that's her past, and it's coming up to bite her, but her present isn't doing much better either. This weekend, Friday, she was speaking in New Hampshire, and a man came up and made a comment about President Trump. He basically said, what can you do to help us handle this retarded guy's actions? And did she say that, oh, sir, you know, that's not really appropriate to say, you know, I disagree with the president, but we should still respect him? Not exactly. Check this out.
I mean, what are you going to do in the next 1 year to diminish the mentally retarded action of this guy?
Well said. Well said.
Well said? That's her response, is well said and laughing. So she was asked about this on the news, of course, and her response was somewhere between insincere and lame. Check this out.
Did you hear him?
I heard him talk about the other stuff, and then that came later, and it was not something that I really heard or processed or, you know, or in any way condone.
So she heard him talk about other stuff, but later she didn't hear or process what she said, yet she laughed and said, well said. Here, one more time.
I mean, what are you going to do in the next 1 year to diminish the mentally retarded action of this guy?
Well said. Well said.
So, of course, there was blowback and criticism, and later on, she probably met with their staffers and said, do you realize that you are laughing at a guy calling the president retarded? So, her team, she issued a tweet on her official Twitter account. And here's what she wrote. She said, "When my staff played the video from my town hall yesterday, it was upsetting. I didn't hear the words the man used in that moment, but if I had, I would have stopped and corrected him. I'm sorry. That word and others like it aren't acceptable, ever. Yet, you laughed at it, you acknowledged it, and you said, well said." So, again, the combination of her past and her present is probably the reason why she's falling in the polls right now and is not the vaunted front runner that everyone was talking about just a few months ago. Meanwhile, President Trump is having fun with the media, and it's just, as on Friday, we talked about Sharpiegate, how he mentioned Alabama could possibly be in the path of Dorian, got criticized up and down from the media for just mentioning that. So then he held a press conference in the Oval Office, shows a hurricane chart. It's got parts of Alabama circled in Sharpie, and the media just went nuts. They thought it was some grand conspiracy, some law-breaking, some falsifying or altering documents. Here's just one example. This is from ABC News. Check this out.
President Trump is facing new questions over that false hurricane forecast he sent to his Twitter followers. In the Oval Office yesterday, he tried to defend the tweet with an official map that had been falsified with a handwritten mark.
So again, ABC is just one of many news outlets. CNN was particularly bad. Jake Tapper and others talking about it with all the seriousness in the world. How can the president do this? We showed Rachel Maddow saying the president was flat out lying. Others are suggesting that he was actually breaking the law. CNN was so bad. And so the president, on his official Twitter account, posted this meme the other day. I'm sure the CNN just love that one. But what cracks me up is that they get so fired up. They get so emotional and just out of control, like their heads are exploding, the people on the left, when it comes to President Trump. And I wouldn't doubt it if he actually put that circle there on purpose. It's like, hey, I'm going to give a press conference. I'm going to show this chart and talk about Alabama. And we're going to show official chart, but let's just go ahead and put like just a, we're going to put a partial circle around parts of Alabama and just watch them freak out. Okay. I mean, it's just a circle around the thing in Sharpie, and yet they are absolutely going nuts. And I bet he's just sitting back, you know, kicking his feet up and saying, yep, look, just watch them go, because they are just absolutely rabid about Trump and trying to bring him down. And they will use something like this, like Sharpiegate, in order to attack him. It's just crazy. Meanwhile, the president is actually doing his job and helping the economy. And the results show. The August job report just came out on Friday. And Andy Puzder, who used to be CEO for a company that owns restaurants like Hardee's and Carl's Jr., put out a great op-ed on Sunday talking about the report. And here are some of his comments. He said, "The unemployment rate held at 3.7%, near a 50-year low. Unemployment among African Americans and Hispanics also hit all-time lows last month, proving that the ongoing economic boom is still creating unprecedented opportunity for all U.S. workers. Average hourly earnings increased at a healthy clip as well, growing by 3.2% since last August. It was the 13th month in a row that wages increased by at least 3% year over year. That's tremendous news for American workers. Prior to this streak, wages last increased at least 3% in April of 2009. Wage increases were better for workers than managers. While the hourly wage increased 2% for managers, it increased an impressive 3.5% for workers." And to kind of sum up the state of the economy, Puzder said this recently, or this weekend on Fox Business Channel. Check this out.
"For 18 months, businesses have been complaining they can't find enough workers. We have 7.3 million job openings and only 6 million people unemployed. That's 1.3 million more job openings than people unemployed."
So there are actually more jobs than workers to fill them. This is the situation that we are in right now. 3.7% unemployment is basically considered by anyone who follows this full unemployment. There is a job for a person who wants to work. That's the situation out there. And that leads us to Joe Biden, who was in New Hampshire talking, and he said that he decided that, you know, with this jobs report, that it was a good time to talk about President Trump and the economy and it, how it's teetering on the brink of recession. Check this out. This is from Fox News. It says, Biden, the front runner in the Democratic presidential nomination, argued that President Trump is becoming more erratic in dealing with an economy that's teetering on a recession. Biden said, the president is feeling pressure on the economy. He inherited a pretty good economy from Barack Obama, just like he inherited everything in his life. Okay, so first of all, you've got Joe Biden being the one that's saying President Trump is becoming more erratic. And then of all the issues to attack the president on, he picks the economy, okay? There's more jobs than workers right now, all right? Unemployment is at historic lows. Wages are up for everybody. So when Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez or some of these other candidates say that it's only helping the upper, it's flat out wrong. Just look at the numbers. Wages are increasing across the board. Wages are increasing better for workers than managers, and unemployment is at historic lows. So, and then Biden decides to go after the economy. It makes no sense. And it makes me wonder, how can he possibly still be leading in the polls? I don't understand it. His lead has shrunk because, again, every time he opens his mouth, a new gaffe comes out, a new, you know, flat out lie when he talks about the economy and things like that. Yet he's still leading. ABC and Washington Post just had a poll, and it was just, the results are interesting that the lead is holding, it is shrunk, but Biden is leading by 29% over Bernie Sanders at 19% and Elizabeth Warren at 18%. Kamala Harris, who we talked about at the beginning of the show, is at 7%, which represents a 6% drop from the last time, 2 months ago, I believe, that the ABC and Washington Post did their last poll. So she has gone down to 7%. Sinking like a rock. No one else is above 4%. That's Pete Buttigieg. And Beto O'Rourke is at 3%, tied now with Andrew Yang. So that shows how far he has fallen. So Biden clings to about a 10% lead. And most of that is driven from the fact that the Democrats think that Biden is the one who can beat Trump. So is that enough to carry him through the actual primaries? Or will someone that more carries the left wing, the far left mantle, be the person who emerges to take on Trump? It's a big decision for the Democrats. Right now, they are being driven hard by people like the Squad, AOC and Ilhan Omar and these others that are driving the party to the left. And the Democrat candidates are, you know, coming on board, but you still have Biden leading. So we'll see where that leads. But anyway, folks, that's our show for today. Please subscribe, and when you do, please hit that bell so you'll be notified, and we'll see you on Wednesday. I'm Bobby Eberle. This is a 13-Minute News Hour. Okay, friends, just a little reminder before you go, and no, this does not count against my 13 minutes. Please hit the subscribe button below and tell your friends. And if you happen to miss our last show, you can check it out right here. And also for great conservative news and commentary, please check out GOPUSA.com. All right, folks, we'll see you on the next show. Have a great day.